because you wear so many hats, it's easy to get overwhelmed. And I think just like making sure that you are keeping yourself as a priority and keeping your health and your sleep and your eating, those were huge things. Like there are so many times I can look back and like, yep, I did 4 all-nighters that week. Like I have it written in my agenda. Like that's not a good thing.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/DE Legacy. See you there. So on the theme of business, which is what you have all asked me to explore a little bit more as we move into the 2018 season, I'm really excited to introduce you to today's guest. Charlene Bailey is a figure skater. I don't think any of you expected me to go there. She is a figure skater who left the sport through a series of events, but then a journey that can only be described as the hero's journey, the ultimate entrepreneur's journey, found her way back to the sport that she knew she loved. Charlene has come back to the sport as a coach and as a fashion designer. And what is so powerful about her story is the way she just put one foot in front of the other to follow her passion. We hear about these people all the time, but we never really, well, at least I feel like I never really know them. They feel like these people we hear about in the internet or someone else's story. But Charlene epitomizes this idea of if you really want something, you make it happen. At one point during the interview, we were talking about the creation of a costume, and she was saying how she taught herself how to sew and she taught herself how to do the beadwork. She was so passionate and so clear on where she wanted to go and how she could contribute. She just learned the skills she needed to make it happen. Her story is inspiring. Her story is relatable. And frankly, her story is really about all of us. It was such a pleasure to sit down with her, and I am overjoyed to introduce you to Charlene Bailey. Charlene Bailey, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Well, it is such a pleasure to have you. You know, one of the things that our audience asked for were more stories of entrepreneurs, badass entrepreneurs. They wanted to understand how they got to where they were, but also a population of people who love and respect their health as part of their journey. You have such an amazing story. Take us through what you are up to and your background, and we're gonna delve into what it is that you're building.
Okay, yeah. So I am currently a figure skating fashion designer, which is really cool and very niche. So I have a lot of fun with it. I do figure skating dresses, and I'm also doing a practice wear line for figure skaters. Not just for skaters, but it's derived from skating lines. And outside of that, I've got a really exciting fashion show happening downtown Toronto in less than 2 weeks, and we'll be launching the cover of the magazine that I'm starting as well.
Amazing. So what took you to this point? Because I think when you were like, I am a fashion designer for figure skaters, people are like, whoa, did not see that coming. Take us through the story that brought you to this place, because this is super niche and really cool. And it is definitely not something people just wake up one day and like, this is what I'm going to do.
Well, and I didn't wake up saying that either. So I think, I was a competitive figure skater my whole life. And then around 18, 19 years old, that sort of started to deteriorate with some personal issues going on and like university happening and teenager stuff. So I think I went to school, got my degree in kinesiology of all things. And then I was kind of bouncing around the service industry and I just like didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't skate or talk about skating for about 8 years. Like I couldn't even watch it or I would bawl my eyes out. So it just, I got to a point where I was frustrated in my life with what I was doing or not doing rather. And so I just kind of started like, I was a crazy person with like Bristol board around my room. Like, okay, how do I like to work? And what do I love to do? And what's my ideal job? And like, what kind of tasks am I going to be doing? And through that, I ended up creating sort of a bucket list. And on that bucket list was, okay, you need to deal with your like skating trauma and you need to be able to like watch it and talk about it and not be a baby. So through that, I ended up deciding to go watch the national championships, which were in Kingston of that year. So this is 2015. And my grandmother, who actually was the reason that I started skating in the first place, was like, okay, well, are you going by yourself? And I was like, well, yeah, like I have to do this. And she's like, oh no, I'm going with you because if you start crying, someone's going to need to drag you out of there. So it was pretty funny. And we went, we had a good time. And she just commented on the way home, like, you know, you didn't stop talking about what everyone was wearing and you just seemed like you hadn't missed a beat. So fast forward to arriving back home at her kitchen table. She's like, oh, I have something to show you. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm thinking like, what could this possibly be? And she comes out with this giant binder and I'm like, okay, like, what is this? And I open it and she had actually kept every scrap of paper that I had ever drawn a figure skating dress on. And it was like, that was my light bulb moment. And from there, it was just like setting a match. So I just like went for it and, you know, started to teach myself the ins and outs of what is needed in figure skating fashion. And I'm still learning, but yeah, that sort of got me going.
Well, what I love about it is that you got outside the box. Like, I think sometimes we get so fixated on, you know, I have to be X, Y, or Z. And if I'm not that in that iteration, I can't be involved in that profession or that sphere in any other way. And it's funny how we all have these different journeys that intersect us with experiences. But you found figure skating in a totally new light. And it sounds like it's something that completely lights you up.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, in a new light and also an old familiar light, because I was reunited with that skating family that was, you know, so crucial to making me the person that I am today. And, you know, like I went back to skating because I love it. And I think a lot of times people think like, oh, you know, like if you're not going to the Olympics at 17 years old, like you're done with skating. But I think what I try and especially show the kids at our training center is that like there is no age limit to skating and skating is for everyone. And I think that sort of, I don't know, it's like, I think that's the backbone of all of it. And that's what kind of keeps me going.
Yeah. And I love two businesses where they take something that has not changed in such a long period of time and decide to view it through a new lens. And if we look at figure skating from 50 years ago to 10 years ago, there's been very little evolution in terms of what people are wearing. What is your vision for where things can start to go? And what were some of your frustrations that you were witnessing before?
Well, I think like, I wouldn't say that I'm the one starting the fashion revolution because there certainly are many designers in North America and wherever that are, you know, putting together really beautiful pieces. But I just found that, you know, it was lacking like that red carpet vibe that I really wanted to see. And, you know, like when I skated, there was a certain style of dress that was very common. When I came back 8 years later, it was like, why are you guys still stuck on this? Like, do something fresh and cool that you could, you know, attach a gown to and you feel like you could walk down the red carpet at the Oscars. So I think that's sort of my motivation. And as much as it's skating and you're putting on a performance and there's a theatrical element to the athleticism, I think like you don't need to look like, you know, that you're in a circus. I think you could look super glamorous. And that's kind of like what I want to bring to the table.
And still athletic.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing. It's like in no other sport is there an element of fashion. And that's, you know, the fun of the fashion show that's coming up. Like it's a fashion show on ice, but you couldn't put, you know, high class fashion on a football player. or, you know, a hockey player, it just wouldn't be the same. Like, figure skating is literally the only one that does it. So it's cool because it's a marriage of something that could be very feminine, but also is super sporty, which is, you know, feminism as at its finest, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I kind of love that. I feel like this is one of our unfair advantages, but I'm going to hold on to this forever, is that we can be as hardcore and as athletic as we want to be without any limitations on that. But if we want to pull in a sense of glamour or a sense of individuality with respect to fashion on top of it, that's fair game as well. And you mentioned feminism there. So what does feminism mean to you, and how is it infused in what you're creating?
Oh, it means so many things. Like, I think, you know, like, it's not like I hold weekly bra burning ceremonies or anything like that. But anyone who knows me, they know that I am a hardcore feminist. Like, I grew up in a family of very strong women who, you know, don't put up with anybody's ill-informed advice or actions. And I think, you know, feminism is like, okay, well, you're a guy, that's cool, no worries, like, I respect you, and, like, you do your thing, but I think, you know, we have to support each other, and anything you can do, like, I can definitely do it. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, well, girls are superior. I think that's not what feminism is to me. I think it's more just like, you know, let's all treat each other with respect, and let's get the same things out of life. And at the end of the day, like, life isn't that complicated. It's about being happy and kind of navigating through your day-to-day journey. So, I don't know. I'm just, it's really a respect thing, I think, the most for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sort of hit the nail on the head sometimes. We make it so complicated. But really, like, life is about finding that true sense of happiness. And it doesn't matter what your gender is or your sexual orientation or where you're from. We all have an equal human right to want to pursue and achieve that.
Absolutely. And I think that comes full circle into why I wanted to figure out my, you know, quote unquote thing. From the beginning, it was like, I felt like I had to do something of value with my life. And if I wasn't going to be a doctor or a lawyer or what have you, then I was really struggling with finding that value. So when I started to realize who I was, like, as a woman, that's when things started to come together for me in my career.
Yeah, so that's interesting, because I want to talk about that, because one of the things I say when I'm working with patients is I need you to work towards understanding your purpose, which is a massively esoteric concept for a lot of people. And it's not what they think they bargained for, right, when they walked through the door.
Yeah.
But I've heard you talk about this before, and I've read articles where you're like, you know, once I found clarity in my purpose, it all kind of took off. For people who are sitting back going, I don't know where to start on that, what advice do you have for them? Because not everyone is going to go through upheaval, and we don't all have to go through trauma or upheaval to get to our purpose. But where do you think they should start?
I think for me, and I have to be very careful with how I word this, because I'm reflecting on my own experience, and I'm trying not to cry right now, actually. It honestly, life got so great when I started being my best friend. And when I started putting myself selfish way, but really just what's good for me and what do I love, and start there. And it was really that bucket list. Like, what are the things that I'm passionate about that I want to do, that are going to make me happy today? And then, you know, tomorrow's a brand new journey in that list, and you can add things or you can check things off. But I think that was a really great spot to start for me.
How did you get started with your business? Like, I feel like this is a question for so many people. They're like, okay, it's great, you've got momentum, you've got things going on, but like, what, you got clarity on that purpose, you finally decided to like really value what it is that you wanted to do and your skill sets, and then what were the actual next steps that you took?
I think it was once I realized, like, okay, all of these, you know, like, theoretical things that are my quote unquote ideals, once I had those in my hand, and then I sort of had that light bulb moment with the, you know, the binder scene on my grandmother's kitchen table, realizing that, you know, skating and what I was about to do with it sort of fit all of those. It was really like, I don't remember sitting there and being like, okay, you know, what's my plan of action? It just kind of fell into place. And I'm very much a believer in that you know, like I'll often joke around, like, it's okay, I'm not going to stress about this. The universe has it under control. But it just, it was literally like I had set a match and it just kind of went. Like I sourced out some funding and, you know, I got back to the rink and I put myself in an environment that I could thrive in. And I started practicing and teaching myself, you know, how to sew and, you know, how to do beading and pattern making and sourcing out different places for, like, I remember being so excited that I didn't ever stop to think like, okay, what's the next step? It was like, I was already thinking like 20 steps ahead.
Well, and I think there's that Chinese proverb that talks about, you know, all it takes is that next right step. And I feel like what you're describing is almost like an improv scene where anything that came your way, you immersed yourself in the environment and then you just said yes to it.
Yes. And ironically, yes. But I think it's so funny that you say that because for the longest time, you know, like there's that saying like, oh, you have to be a yes man. I considered myself a yes woman for a very long time to the point where it actually became detrimental to my health because I was putting other people's needs and wants and desires and expectations ahead of my own when it came to business. So, you know, I would, yes, 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 I can do your project. And, you know, I'd be like stressed out pulling all nighters and not getting sleep and then ending up like bedridden with a concussion at one point. So it very quickly could have gotten out of hand. And I suppose it did a little bit with respect to, you know, looking after myself, which I think like any entrepreneur can sort of relate to. You sort of, if you're not careful, you can kind of lose yourself in the excitement and, you know, fury of what's going on. And then eventually you realize like, oh, I can actually say no to some things. And that's now the source of my happiness. So it's an interesting journey.
How did you learn to be an entrepreneur? I mean, you mentioned that you're like, I taught myself how to sew. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. It's like you had this vision. You're like, nothing is going to stop me. I mean, it's one thing if you're like, oh, I'd always been a sewer my whole life. And you're like, nope, I'm going to disrupt this. And I have to learn all of the skills. But on the entrepreneurial side, where did you learn that? Do you have mentors? Do you have books? Do you have masterminds? Like, what is it that fuels your knowledge and your next right step?
Well, when it came to sewing, like my grandmother actually used to sew my dresses when I was little. And I mean, like her knowledge base only goes so far because back in those days, like everyone knew how to sew enough to get them through. So it just was, I took a class, learned the basics, and then I experimented. Like I'm an experimenter and I'll just jump in and try it out and then figure it out as I go. Some things I'm very calculated about, but with this in particular, it was like, okay, you know, how can I get into some, you know, startup business classes and, oh, there's a grant involved in that one. Fantastic. If not, cool. I'm going to learn some stuff and I'm going to, you know, look for templates online. Like it was very much my own sort of venture that I was on a mission.
Clearly. And if you were speaking to other entrepreneurs about this mission and this journey, do you have some specific recommendations or things that you would recommend they do or don't do based on the steps that you've taken in your own path?
Oh, I feel like I could write a book about it. There's so many things. I think like the number one thing is keeping in mind why you started in the first place and really like being grounded, because as I said, like it's very easy to get carried away with everything that's going on because you're wearing so many hats. Like I'm not terrible at math by any means, but like, do I want to sit there and do it all day? No, but I had to do my bookkeeping and my accounting and whatnot. Or, you know, do I enjoy sewing? Like, yeah, maybe like once a week, but not for, you know, 16 hours at a time. So I think because you wear so many hats, it's easy to get overwhelmed. And I think just like making sure that you are keeping yourself as a priority and keeping your health and your sleep and your eating, those were huge things. Like there are so many times I can look back and like, yep, I did 4 all-nighters that week. Like I have it written in my agenda. Like that's not a good thing. So I think just keeping yourself like the focus, there are sacrifices that have to be made, but I think people warn you about it, but until you actually experience it, you don't fully appreciate it.
And are you outsourcing tasks now to other people?
Yeah. So I do. I have a seamstress that works for me now. I still do all the beading, and I'm I've sourced out, you know, my accounting and my bookkeeping at this point. And with the fashion show specifically coming up, like I have like a whole team behind me, which is amazing. They're almost like my wedding planners or something. But yeah, it's allowed me to sort of like focus on the design and like the overall situations having to do with the business. So, you know, how do I want my brand to come across and like, what do I want to get involved in? And I deal with the clients myself because that's super, super important to me. And I think like, yeah, letting go was super hard. And I think that's what got me into a little bit of trouble in the early stages of the business, because I just didn't want to, I don't know if it was that I didn't trust anyone or like, I'm just a perfectionist and somewhat of a control freak at times. So it was hard to let go. But once I did, it was like, oh my God, I can sleep. Thank the Lord.
All right. And I find that's the hardest thing with the individuals that I work with is really understanding when they need to start to let go of those pieces. What's the criteria for letting go? Because you're right. You can't, it is totally unsustainable to remain in that fingers in every pot, perfectionistic, everything passes through me lifestyle of an entrepreneur. It just is just not sustainable or scalable.
No, it's not. And it's again, it's that idea of you finally get to the point where you start feeling comfortable saying no, like, you know, I don't want to go do that. And I don't want to go do this. And no, I'm not going to go out. I'm going to sleep. And I think the criteria for me would be, okay, am I like the best at this particular task? Or is there someone that could do this better than me? Because if someone can do it better than me and it's going to take them less time to do it, even if it's, or it's not even, it doesn't even have to be better than me. Can they do it the same as I would do or better? And can they do it in less time? I think are the two factors, because it's like, okay, is my time better spent organizing, you know, a photo shoot and designing dresses, or is my time better spent behind a sewing machine, you know, not talking to anyone and being miserable and like, you know, not getting all the other things done? I think was a big turning point. I call it the TSN turning point for me. It was like, okay, well, like I'm not a professional like sewer, so this shouldn't be my main task. I shouldn't be spending the most of my time doing this.
Yeah. And these are such key lessons. Do you have some favorite podcasts or business books that you have read that really hit these points home for you, that almost gave you permission to start to pursue these ideas in real life?
I honestly wish that I made more time to read books. Like, I hate when people say like, oh, you know, like I don't have time. You do have time. It's like, but did you prioritize? Like, is it a priority to you?
Mm-hmm.
So I think even that is sort of like I've tried to change like how I think in a more positive manner. I think like a lot of things that I learned were very much through a couple of, like, I have some business mentors that really, you know, they're like older and seasoned and they get it and they've been through the ringer and they've got, you know, years of experience to bestow upon me anytime I'm like, hey, I don't really know what to do here. But one thing that actually got me really hyped in a time that I was super, super down was actually watching some selected YouTube videos by Gary Vee, actually, because he just kind of had like a no BS approach, and I'm very much that way. And it was just like, no, like, if you want this, you have to work for it and you have to get it done. And, you know, like, that's it. Like, that's the bottom line. So that sort of got me hyped up. But then it was like, okay, I don't have time to do this because I'm like, you know, executing. So I got to go do stuff. So lately, I haven't really been tuned in to anything, but I really wish that I was.
And mentorship, you mentioned that it is so important, I think, for all of us at any stage with respect to our business to have people that we can pick up the phone and call who we know are in our backcourt, because the journey of an entrepreneur, whether it is in figure skating, fashion, or health and wellness, or it doesn't matter. There's some key commonalities. How did you go about finding your mentors?
Some of them sort of happened through the business development like programs that I went through, as I had mentioned, but quite honestly, they just kind of evolved into my space. Like, I'm a believer that you kind of like, you attract your tribe when you start to put your like truest vibes out into the universe. So I think like I am so, so lucky to have a core group of girlfriends that are kind of like, you know, on a similar journey, but in their own thing. Like, maybe they're doing like a synchro not-for-profit, like my friend Lisa at One Team Movement, or, you know, they're a photographer, like my girlfriend Danny, who like is killing it, or, you know, they're like, there are so many people, like my friend Carly is a writer and she's like doing amazing things. Like we kind of go through these similar like ups and downs and we'll get together for coffee, catch up and kind of keep each other accountable with respect to like goal setting and whatnot, or even just life, just to like vent. And it's like, oh, hey, yeah, you're going through this. That totally happened to me last week. Like, whatever. And we just, it's really cool to be able to kind of like hit home base with any one of these, like the people that I mentioned or even other ones that I haven't mentioned. Like, and you just kind of realize like, oh, so we're on this journey on our own independently, but like we're also kind of doing it together in our own way, which is really cool. And I think having that support group, like without it, there's no way that I would be achieving the level of sanity that I have right now.
Well, you know, I love hearing that because I think one of the advantages that we have as women entrepreneurs is that it is our natural inclination to drive and build community. And when we can find other women who are walking that journey with us, it feels so much more secure, but also more powerful.
Absolutely. And I have this conversation at least like, you know, once every 2 weeks with one of my girlfriends or even one of my guy friends, because I'm not like, it's not like, oh, you're not a girl, you're not invited. Like there are really influential men who are a part of our journeys and they're supporting us and they believe in what we're doing. And they are just as important as these women are. But I think like, yeah, there's nothing, I've never experienced something so motivating and so empowering as like having some like badass women who are also doing their own thing. And they'll like, we kind of keep each other in check and we're all kind of go-getters, but it's, I know in my heart that I'm not just going to, you know, take a day off because I need to. And sometimes I need to be reminded also wouldn't take their own day off. Like, okay, I think you need to breathe a little bit. And I think that's also an important aspect of it too.
Absolutely. You started your journey studying health sciences and it has certainly evolved, but I want to understand a little bit about how you find balance between a busy entrepreneurial schedule and yet this core value around health. What are some of the things that you actively do to make sure that you are maintaining your health while you are building this really cool business?
Well, thank you. I think that probably the thing that I would put as priority number one is really having that support group that we actually just talked about. I'm not like religious, but I would say that there is, like, I do have an element of like spiritual health, and it's like, it could be my own spirit and like, you know, uplifting myself or uplifting others. And I think that's super important, and just kind of like keeping my like mental state at a nice neutral and being able to feel excitement and not just being completely drained. So I think having that support group is number one for my health. I think like you caught me at a very busy time. So last night's a bad example because I didn't get much sleep. But I think, you know, listening to my body has been a huge thing. And it's about, you know, awareness. And that's sort of a theme that, you know, transcends just my physical health throughout this journey. But listening to my body, like, hey, you know what? I'm tired. And instead of pushing through the next 4 hours on, you know, a fresh cup of coffee at 11 p.m., like, I'm going to go to bed. And if it's meant to get done, it will get done tomorrow. But I need sleep and I need to eat and I need to drink water. So I think, like, training myself to really, like, develop those habits has been, like, a newer addition to my entrepreneurial journey, I think.
Well, and I love hearing this, you know, over again. You're like just tapping in and being in touch and making sure I'm answering that, because again, I think women are so well suited to entrepreneurism, but that's one of the things that I feel like we do well is we do connect and listen well to our bodies when we give ourselves permission to do it. And I think it's going to serve you in such a long way as you're pursuing what you are doing. So I love hearing that, because in saying that out loud, it gives other people permission to do that as well. So thank you for that.
No, totally. And it's like, by all means, it's totally giving yourself permission to do that. And it's, once you open up to that level, like, I'm not sitting here being like, you know, I'm an experienced yogi who's just like in tune with every, you know, cell in my body. That's not the case, but it's just, It's just listening to how you feel that day, or like being very in tune with what your environment is, or, you know, it's once you start to tap into that awareness, it's like this whole other level of consciousness within yourself that you're like, oh, this is really cool. And here is my sense of calm.
I love that. Charlene, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh my gosh.
Just that little question.
I think I want my legacy to be something along the lines of, you know, like if my message kind of gets out to one person that changes their life, I want it to be that. I want it to be that, you know, the little girls or little boys that I work with, like at skating in particular, because that's sort of my sphere of the world to work with. I want them to be happy with who they are and accept whatever cards they are dealt and just, you know, choose to live the life that they really love, and to be unapologetically themselves.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. Such great words of wisdom and a perfect place to transition to the second half of our interview. And by half, I mean the very small portion at the end. But I call these KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have those in our business, I believe we have them with respect to how we live our lives and our health as well. So indulge me. I've got 6 rapid fire questions for you if you are ready.
Okay. Are they like one word responses, or are they like sentences?
No, you have 140 characters. I'm just kidding. You take what you need. This is your space. First question. Okay. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
I don't, but I really wish that I did. Outside of coffee. Coffee is the elixir of the gods, really.
Spoken like a true entrepreneur. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
I am reading nonfiction, but I really need to make more time for it, for sure.
Do you have a specific book that you're diving through?
The Subtle Art of Not Giving.
Oh, it's so good.
I have, you know what? I started it so long ago and I've restarted it twice, and I just like, I haven't been making time for it. So once this fashion show's over, that's priority number one.
I hear you. What's one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Ooh, I would say checking in with my girlfriends and my like fellow entrepreneur babes, we'll call them. I definitely make time to call them. So usually I'll be calling them when I'm beating or something with my headphones on. But I would say like my mental and spiritual health is usually the most consistent.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, I don't know which one to pick. No, I'm joking.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I very much wear myself on my sleeve. I think what makes me badass is just I'm not afraid to tell someone where to go within reason, I think. But I'm not afraid to say no, and I'm not afraid to call somebody out for their stuff.
I like that. That is badass, and it's totally important. What do you do for fun or play?
I skate. I love skating. Outside of that, I haven't been making time for stuff. I actually, you know what? With one of my girlfriends, we have a thing that we have to restart once this fashion show's over, that we get together once a month and we do something new and fun that neither of us have done, and collect a photo from each experience, obviously. And then at the end of the year, we sort of, we celebrate and we reflect on, you know, bucket list or just like an item. So
good for you guys.
Random things like axe throwing, archery tag, paint night, you name it. We just, So it's good. It like keeps me on track, gives me something to look forward to.
Great. I love that. Last question for you. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. I feel like maybe we're raised this way, but from an early age. So I think like I was never meant to be a 9-to-5 person. It made me want to die when I did do it. And I
Right.
think like my grandparents had their own business. So I kind of like learned by example.
Nice. I like that. I like this idea that we're raised this way. No one's given that answer before, and I think that's really kind of cool. Charlene Bailey, you are up to awesome stuff. You've got really fabulous advice, and you are living your purpose. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you. Where can people find out a little bit more about what you are up to, in particular this fashion show that's in the works?
Yes. So I have a website. It's charlenekbailey.com. I also have sort of my branding and whatnot all over social media. So I'm quite active on Instagram as my business is very visual. And that's very much what I'm into. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Charlene K. Bailey, and then my business accounts, the CB brand, so CB Official, and then the Revolution Mag, which is the Revolution magazine that we'll be launching. The cover will be launching in 2 weeks, and then we'll be releasing the magazine in March at Toronto Fashion Week.
Fabulous. Well, this is super exciting. Thank you so much for sharing your story with everybody, and best of luck with all of the upcoming launches and excitement with your business.
And thank you so much for having me. And most of all, thank you for what you're doing in sharing all of these stories with everyone. I think it's like I can't explain the amount of value that it has, and I really hope that whoever is listening to your podcasts are really getting something out of it, because you're doing really great things. So thank you for keeping me part of it.
Thank you. That's so sweet and so lovely. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.